5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
And hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott, as always joined by my Tech Talk guys. I have Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hi, Robin.
F-A-B, Scott, Mr. Scott.
I always thought it was Virgil. I always thought, because I always liked Thunderbird 2. That's my Thunderbird.
Which is the
right
big green one?
That's the Thunderbird 2. Come on,
yeah.
Robin.
That's everyone's favourite.
Well, no, it's my favourite. I claimed it first. Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com. Which Thunderbird star are you?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that because I haven't watched Thunderbirds in so long. I don't recall.
I'm trying to think which one you would be.
There's no strings attached to that question.
I think you're Brains.
I'm Brains?
You're Brains.
Yeah.
I think that works for you.
I'll take that, I think.
Emails Andy's here as well. You know it's coming.
Yeah, I don't know. Where's the punchline? Wait for it.
Penelope.
Yeah. Well, there aren't that many.
Parker.
Alan? Well, there was a Scott.
There was a Scott. I think you're Scott. I think you're the kind of cool guy, you know, all the ladies love, you know, Miltray, whatever it was.
The older guy was called Jeff, wasn't he?
That's right. Jeff, yeah. Who was the dad? I can't remember the dad's name.
Oh, yeah.
What have I started?
Oh, that's it. That's going to be the whole show.
You know, this means we're going to get emails with people telling us who they think we are.
The next 5 pages of emails.
Exactly.
Are going to be all about Thunderbirds.
I remember when this was a tech show. Now you're starting off talking about...
This is a tech show.
Honestly, it is. I know you might not believe that, but, you know, we do try. We do try to keep it on track. Look, this hour, we've got lots to talk about. Now, Andy, you're going to take a bit of a step out for the next half hour or so, because we're going to talk with a guy all about the Amazon Echo. And I know you've already said you're going to go off and check the emails for us, because there are so many we haven't gotten to over the past couple of weeks. So I know you're going to go and sort all that out. So that's great. You go and do that. Meanwhile, though, we're going to introduce our guest of the day, and that is David Ward. Now, David is the host of a Echo Tips podcast, as well as doing some other work as well. Look, he'll tell us all about it. Hi to you, David.
Hey, good to see you. Good to talk to you, Stephen.
Yeah, and you. So for those who aren't aware of you and what you do, give us a bit of a background. Come on, tell us your bio.
My bio, okay. I'm an assistive technology instructor for a program here for Goodwill in Virginia, here based in the United States. And the New Vision program really focuses on assisting the blind and visually impaired with training and other information services. And I think that's the big bit of it. I'm also low vision myself. And legally blind, so...
Everyone's screaming at their podcast player, is that a thing? Saying, no, he's the host of the Echo Tips podcast.
Well, I do that too.
you've got Robin That's here as your agent as well, so you're all right.
There you go.
You're sorted. So you're on with us this week to talk about a number of things, but I know one area that is, as Robin has just alluded to, the Echo Tips podcast. You know, again, you, like Robin, huge fans, like all of us, I guess, fans of the Amazon Echo. And I thought it might be quite interesting because we don't often delve into the Amazon Echo too much. We maybe talk about a particular skill or we talk about the devices, but we don't often talk about those things that we can do to better enjoy and get more out of these devices. Because I think that's the point, isn't there? There's so much you can do with them, David.
Oh, absolutely.
If I was to ask you what your, I don't want to say top 5 because that's a lot, but let's say your top 2 tips you would give someone who has an Amazon Echo device, who, you know, wants to do more with their smart speaker, what would you recommend? What would you say are your top two?
Well, it varies from person to person. With a lot of the folks that I work with day in and day out, the visually impaired, and often my demographic that I deal with is seniors as well. But I mean, this is great for me every day. My Echo It says, "Hey, Dave, your bus is about to arrive. Hey, Dave, this is going to happen." The reminders feature is huge. The calendar feature is huge. Mine wakes me up to music every morning. Dave's wake up playlist. So there's a few things like that. I use every day, but a lot of my students do too. Especially like medication reminders and things like that. Just super helpful.
I was going to say that, David, unlike me with the Dot to Dot podcast, where I kind of take the easy option, which is to just kind of pick a skill at random, it usually is a game, because that's probably the vast majority of skills on the skill store, and, you know, just give it a quick blast. David's Echo Tips podcast is much more about the useful things that you can do with your Echo, often built-in stuff, and you very much go step by step as to how to configure those or set those up. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking to the right person with regards, you know, what useful things you can do that isn't just kind of the froth that we all know that we can do with our Echoes. So, yeah, you've mentioned a few there, and I think that's really interesting. The thing that I'm really jealous about that you guys have in the States is the notes feature on Echo, which I hope will come to the UK at some point. But
what's that?
I mean, that's, wow. It's like having an external brain. I don't know if you want to talk about it, Dave.
I could do with having a brain. One that functions.
Well, you could just tell it to remember, basically, or take a note, and then later you can kind of query it at any time. You could say, like, remember that Peggy's birthday is in February, or she's going on a trip to China. And then you can come back and ask her, where's Peggy going? And it'll run a keyword search against the notes you've already taken and give you usually a pretty accurate response. It'll pull the data up and tell you exactly, you know, she's going to China, her birthday's in February.
Yeah, it's like a searchable database. It's literally kind of like a note-taking and retrieving device.
Now, do you use that, Tim? Because that sounds cool.
I have used that. I've also used other skills that do that. Evernote is available, or at least it used to be. OneNote is also available, and they work cross-platform. So if you log into your account with one of those, you can then get on your PC or Mac and you know, get the same content. But the built-in version is nice, like the guy said. But you know, the database ends up being searchable, so you can just ask later. So that works out really nicely. I mean, all the things that David has mentioned so far, I use regularly. I've actually just recently started using a wake-up alarm to a podcast. So there's a news podcast that I like. They update it like every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning or something. So by the time I wake up, which we know is way after that, that podcast is always available. So when the Echo alarm goes off, it just shoots right into that news podcast and starts my day. So there are so many of those types of things that can help people if they just know about it and use it regularly. You know, like you talked about reminding you about taking prescriptions or taking notes or scheduling appointments or your calendar, even emails, you know, is something that I like doing, be able to check my emails and, you know, tick things off, you know, be able to delete them or have them read to me and things like that. So yeah, those are great suggestions, David.
You know, the thing that gets me about the Echo is, you know, and I often try to think about this from my silly perspective in life, which is often, how do you do that? Because, you know, I hear people talk about, on your podcasts, on all three of you, you know, on your video shows, you've talked about using these kind of devices and skills and all the rest. And I often think, okay, yeah, that sounds great, but how do I enable that? How do I make that work? Because that's the big thing. It's all very well saying, you know, this is a great skill or this is a brilliant thing, but, you know, how do I get my Amazon Echo to wake me up to a podcast? You know, where do you get that information from?
Well, I'd say you got a lot of the resources right here. Robin, of course, covers a lot of stuff, but on ours, we cover that as well. I love the... what would you call it, Robin? A newsletter that Amazon sends out about what's new. And they also have this fantastic blog. I checked it this morning. It's called the A Lady Blog. And it does a monthly roundup where you can go and look at new features they've been adding. And it's pretty useful as well.
There's a brilliant...
Hang on, you've got to do homework. Oh, I'm out.
Well, I mean, you can actually... discoverability on the Echo is a lot better than it was before. Yeah, so you can say, you know, what are your top productivity skills? Mm-hmm. Or how can I get fit? Or, you know, you can kind of just ask random stuff now. Mm. Mm-hmm. And she will make recommendations, etc. Occasionally, if you're playing or using a particular skill afterwards, she'll say, you know, you've used this skill, you might also like that one. There's a lot of that as well. I would also make a plug for a brilliant newsletter, daily newsletter called Voice Brew, all one word, which actually covers Google, the Google Assistant as well now. I think they've got sponsored by them as well. So there's usually two tips to do with the Echo and one to do with Google as well.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, we don't often talk about the Google devices. In fact, it's like the conversations we've had on previous shows around Android. You know, it's that we don't bring them up because we don't use this tech very often. And Google Home or Google Nest or whatever they're calling it this week, mm-hmm. you know, it always seems to be the one that we talk about least. And I mean that in the blind community. I don't know if you guys feel that, but I feel very few people are talking about the Google devices. Everyone seems to be talking about the Amazon Echo. And I wonder if it's partly driven by this skills store that you're able to go and look at through the Amazon A-Lady app. You can go and look at the skills. You can go and search for skills. You can, you know, easily get access to them. You can even just say, hey, A-Lady, enable the skill and she'll do it for you. Whereas with the Google, it seems to be as if you've got to almost discover it yourself. And I find that it's knowing what it can do. I'm sure it's more than capable, probably more capable in some ways than the Amazon Echo, but it just doesn't feel like it's particularly capable. You know, you sit staring at this thing, wondering, well, what can you actually do? Because I can't get you to do anything.
I think you've hit on something there, Stephen, with the Google, because with Nest Audio or Nest Home or whatever, like you said, they're calling it now, the good thing about that is because it is Google, questions to that device are really, really good. The Google searches using their search engine, getting information, finding out things. I have talked to people who say it's so, so good. And not that the Amazon Echo isn't, because I often will ask it questions and they'll say, according to reference.com or according to what I found on the web or according to Wikipedia. So, I mean, it does find information and gives it to you in a really good way. But I think from everybody I've ever talked to, Google does a better job. But then flip that, like you said, about skills and games and accessing other things, it seems to be a little bit more difficult with Google. And I think, especially amongst people in our community, they're just not to be bothered trying to you know, struggle to find something. It's so much easier to just say, you know, enable or open this skill, or is there a skill for this? I do that all the time. Like, is there a skill that does this, or can you do this? You know, that's a popular one to just say, you know, can you, if you're not sure, can you take notes? Can you help me with my email? Can you whatever? And the Echo will help you do that. They even throw that stuff at you in the app. I find that all the time. I'll open the app for something in the top, you know, three or four lines in the app are, did you know you can do this? Or tap here to do that. So that's another way to discover things. And when I've played with the Google Assistant app on my iPhone, it doesn't really spoon feed me a lot of that stuff. There's a lot of settings and a lot of features and, you know, that kind of thing, but I don't feel the discoverability is as good.
Yeah, Stephen, if I could add, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about the skills and surfacing those on the Google Assistant, because in some respects it is really, really good. Especially the simple fact that it has so many text-to-speech options. With the A-Lady, the Echoes, you only got pretty much her voice and what is it, Samuel L. Jackson's voice as an option.
Yes.
But on Google,
Tim knows this only too well.
Yeah.
Yes. I haven't been enabled on all my Echoes except my daughter's. And it's fun, especially now that I can just say, hey, in his name and I don't have to go through Lady A anymore. Mm. So it's nice. I wish they'd add more.
Yeah, on the Google Assistant, you have a number of different voices it can be set to. Also, its chime feature for accessibility features, you know, where it does the ding when you say the wake word, is much more robust in some ways than the Echo, where once you enter into a skill, you may or may not get any kind of chime or feedback that it's asking you a question now, while the Google Assistant does a much better, well-rounded job at that.
So am I going crazy here, or is it just the case that there isn't a skills store equivalent on Google Home?
There is, but they're very much more limited. Sorry, David, go on.
No, I think you're exactly right. And I don't know what the current number is, but do you think they have much over 1,000 or a couple thousand?
Actions, they call it, isn't it? Is it actions?
Yeah,
actions.
I think it's several thousand, but yeah. I mean, that compares to 50-odd thousand here, and I don't know how many in the States.
Probably much more. Much more.
I think it's well over like 500,000.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Lots of
yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the only thing that would ever make me consider moving over is if the Echo doesn't sort its act out with regards responsiveness. I don't know if you guys have found this recently.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
Man, what is going on? Yeah. She hardly ever, she often doesn't respond. You have to repeat yourself. And then it's somebody, it's one in the other room that responds. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place at the moment, which is weird. And it's new and it's worrying. So
I fear that we're getting to a point where the technology is going to get so intelligent that she will know that I'm screaming at her. And she'll probably react by, you know, either running away or telling me to get lost on no uncertain terms.
They are working on that emotion detection so that she'll know if you're angry at her or frustrated. Actually, it's funny you guys say that because asking questions of my Echo or getting it to listen to me usually isn't too bad. We have ours set to the wake word computer, which can be bad because if we're just generally talking about our home PC, that can make it go off. But it seems like any word we say that ends in ER, it doesn't matter what the word is. If it has an er sound at the end, it sets it off in any of our rooms, but thankfully it just bonks and goes off because she realizes, okay, you weren't talking to me, or we'll say colorful things to her to let her know that we weren't talking to her. I usually don't have that problem. It's my Fire Cube. I sometimes have that problem with getting her to listen to us, but I've not had that problem trying to get her attention.
I'll tell you what gets me and really gets my goat about it is when TV and movies from today use that name, the A name, in their programs. I mean, there was actually one on Netflix I watched. I can't remember what it was called, but the main character was her name, and I thought you're just having a laugh. That's purely just to irritate Amazon Echo owners, surely.
Because when was it shot though? Because that is a legitimate name.
Like
you do know that,
like,
don't you?
Yeah, but it was like the year before, and I thought you could have picked any name on earth, and you chose that one.
And I've mentioned this before. Our daughter's name is Alyssa, which to the Echo is just close enough, which is why we use the word computer, because we use her name a lot more than we use the word computer. So we have no choice because we're, you know, talking to her or yelling at her or whatever, you know, and we're using Alyssa's name, it sets it off every time. So yeah, it can be frustrating.
Yeah. Or when I was watching, because apparently you guys in America had an election recently. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of it. It was pretty.
Supposedly.
It was in the news. And every time somebody referred to that word, it would jump into life. And I thought, you can't hear me sitting across the room. You can't hear me say your name, but you can hear the TV constantly say the wrong word. It does drive me insane. But no, look, I mean, I don't want to get into necessarily what's better, Google or the other, because frankly, I don't know the answer. I haven't had enough experience on the Google side for sure. But I think on the Amazon Echo side, David, going back to what you talk about, you know, these tips, they're so important, and we'll give people details of where they can get the podcast, because I think people should go and listen to this and you know, get a sense of where we can get this information, because that's the thing. We need access to information. We need as much information out there as possible. But the great thing about these devices is how accessible they are to people who are blind. That's the key, isn't it? That you just talk to the air and you get a response back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And and there's just a certain ease and functionality that for anybody, but yeah, especially for those with visual impairments. Absolutely.
So let's talk about those tips and tricks. I know you've mentioned a couple, but okay. I mean, let's get into a bit more, because, you know, people love this, right? This is what they're here for, right? They want to hear you talk about the tips and tricks. So let's talk a bit more about those. What else would you recommend people do that they may not know they can do with their smart device?
Okay. Well, there's a few relatively new things here in the States. I don't know if it's come to you guys across the pond yet, and I plan on doing some episodes about it. One is group calling features. using your Echo. And since we're all shut in and isolated in many instances, being able to like communicate with friends and family in a group kind of setting is kind of a neat new feature. Another neat new feature, and this goes back to the original way I got into the Echoes, which is that we had some grants to buy Echoes for seniors in the community. But this new feature is called the, I think, Care Hub, and it's really geared towards caregivers or those maybe needing some sort of assistance so that they can kind of like keep family informed that they're up and they're going and they're you know, different things are going on, but also protect their privacy in a way. So it's probably a new feature. I don't know if you guys have heard about it yet, the Care Hub.
Yeah, we don't have it.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
We have group calling.
If it's good, we don't have it, I guarantee it.
I mean, just on the group calling, I think that's absolutely brilliant. And we should reiterate that, you know, you can call Echo to Echo. Mm-hmm. You can call landlines and mobiles from your Echo. You can do video calling if you've got a screen. You can't do Zoom meetings
not yet.
I'm sure that's got to come.
Well, it is. Surely. It's coming in the new Echo Show 10. Although whether or not that will actually apply to other Echoes, and I really hope it does. So interestingly, on the Zoom thing, you can join a Zoom call. Is that right? I'm sure I read this.
Where it's got dial-in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's got the dial-in feature. And here in the States, too, I think they just allowed you to start using the Echo Show 8 with Zoom. But for some reason, not the 10, and which I don't understand. There's some, or the 5, you know, I don't get what the difference is. So
yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait for that then. Was that a third-party skill, or how does it work? Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. Well, ironically, I upgraded from the 8 in my classroom to a 10, so I don't even really have an 8 around anymore. But it sounds like it's a native integration. I don't think there's a... I'm sure you have to log into the Zoom account or whatever that you're using. But other than that, I don't think it's a special skill.
I have to give nod to the Facebook portal that a lot of people don't speak about, but I got one to try. And I was very impressed at the accessibility on this device. And of course, it's got Zoom integration, Facebook Messenger integration. Teams would be good if it was available, but it's not available yet. I'm sure it's coming. But you know, you can get into like Facebook at workplace and stuff. So it does suggest it's heading towards that corporate end of the market. But this is purely for video calls or general calls, I guess, if you wanted to use that. It's strange in some ways that they've developed a device that's, you know, built for video calling when you could get an Echo Show and it allows you to do so much more. And I think that down the line, I can see integrations. I mean, we've got the Zoom integration coming up the line. Mm-hmm. I can see Microsoft integrating more with it. I mean, it's interesting.
You could already do Skype on an Echo.
That's right. I was going to say, because remember back at the beginning, Tim, when we talked about this, we talked about Lady A integration with Microsoft, actually. We talked about way back when. And remember, I think you can still get the Lady A app on your PC.
Yes.
That's still available from the Windows Store, isn't it? So you can go get that. And, you know, that means you could actually have Lady A on your computer.
And even hands-free now, so you can just talk to her just like you could any other device. Yeah,
it's a great feature, and it does allow you to have it. I mean, I wish my organization would allow it to be on the laptop at work, because, you know, it kind of gives me that in the office, which I love. I can just talk to her via my headset rather than having to have another device on the table. But that aside, I think that what it does lead us to is all the fun stuff you can do is obviously great with the Echo, but there are some real productivity tools, either whether you're working from home or you just want to get things done. And I know, Tim, you've spent a bit of time looking into this, and David, I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. You know, how you use your Echo at home for productivity, for work. You've been looking into that, haven't you, Tim?
I have, and I've been using it that way for quite a long time. Like I alluded to in the beginning of this conversation, of course, I have my calendars synced. So my actual calendars in for my iPhone, my Apple calendars, you can actually tie those into your Echo, your mail client, of course. I've got my Google Mail. I don't know if I have any other mail clients set up because it was just easier just to deal with Google, you know, with that. But yeah, you can set up your email clients and your calendar. calendar clients so that you can just say, what's on my calendar? What's next thing on my calendar? What are the next five things on my calendar? Or, you know, check my email. Okay, delete that. You know, it's you can't do a lot of, you know, deep dive, you know, composing and replying or anything like that. But you can check your email. The notes feature we talked about, I use that all the time just to remember something. My memory is not as good as it used to be. Mm-hmm. So just to say, take a note feeling. Or yeah, exactly. So, you know, I have used the skills like Evernote, like I mentioned before, but the notes feature that they have built in now is so much easier, in my opinion, to just say, you know, take a note, unless I want something that I can go to my PC and have it there, or my iPhone and have it there and synced, you know, amongst all my devices. So using it for reminders, alarms, you know, my wife and I have different, you know, prescriptions that we take. I do have a couple of reminders on my iPhone, but there are some that I've set up on the Echo as well, because I know the time I need to take it, I'm going to be at the house or need to, you know, have that alert. So yeah, there's so many of those kinds of things for productivity, for, you know, making sure that you're on the ball with things. That combined with a lot of things that I do on my smartphone, I mean, there's no excuse, quite honestly. As long as you remember to set it up or remember to say it, you should never forget anything again or not have access to anything again. You always should have access. So in addition to all the other accessibility features, speeding up or slowing down speech or sound detection for the elderly or people that are deaf, you know, to alert them of sounds, kind of like our smartphones do, you know, there are those accessibility features, but just built-in productivity, as I've said a bunch of times on the show and elsewhere, these devices are accessibility by accident because they just work, as you said, Stephen, with our voice talking to the air, and they just work. And we don't have to worry about, is this image going to be read? Is this, you know, whatever going to be, you know, available to us? It just works.
You know, I had to turn off the sound recognition feature on my iPhone last night. We were watching a movie called Quarantine. Yeah, you know, ironic, eh? And we're watching this movie, and it's a kind of horror thing, obviously, and it's brilliantly audio described, although, you know, whoever mixed the levels clearly has never mixed levels in their life. But so watch that. And all through the movie, because there were sirens and dogs barking and all kinds of stuff going on, the phone was going crazy. It was like, you know, I believe a siren's just gone off, and I believe it. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know. But it's interesting, all these wonderful features. I mean, David, you know, Tim brings up a lot of subjects there, the things that we can do. Do people come to you and ask this question as well about being more productive using a device like this, rather than just seeing it as an entertainment device or a source of just pure fun?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say with my students, a lot of it is about just helping them get everyday things done they need to get done. Or, you know, I mean, when you're under quarantine and everything, I mean, life has a way of like everything's blurring together and trying to keep some sort of structure organized. So there's other productivity things that, that I use that Tim maybe didn't mention. The notes I do use a lot, and the reminders a lot. But one weird thing I even use is if I'm working from home, teaching classes at home or something, and I need to check with my teaching assistant at the classroom who's manning the office and checking the mail, I'll just use the drop-in feature. And I'll drop in on the Echo in the classroom and talk to my teaching assistant, hey, you need help with this? What's going on? But there's a lot of just real excellent. There's a new feature. Well, it's not super new. I think it's been around for a couple months. Notifications connected with your calendar appointments, which I think would probably drive me nuts because I got too many things on my calendar, but where it'll actually chime at you and kind of tell you, you know, you have this appointment coming up and things like that. So yeah, it's just a super, super powerful tool, I think, just for everyday living.
That is a brilliant tool. And that's actually one I need to engage with, because I am forever. Last week I was doing something, I was really in an edit, and I was in my head in this edit, and I was working away, and you know, in my head, you know, we had like 10 minutes to the meeting, and then suddenly it was like 5 past and the meeting was started, and I had, you know, was in my head, was in this interview, this thing I was doing, and I just thought, And I thought, I wish I could just get this thing. And now I'm blaming the Echo for my tardiness. But I was like, why can't you tell me that I've got a meeting now?
Yeah, because it's all the Echo's fault, Stephen. We know you. Thing. If it's not alerting you somewhere or written down somewhere,
exactly.
it doesn't happen.
Exactly.
It is not going to happen. No, I like that, though. The drop-in feature, even the announcements feature, we use that in our house all the time. Oh, yeah. It would have been great if when I was a kid, you know, when I'd be in my bedroom, my speakers would be real loud. My parents are screaming my name. You know, if they could have just done a drop-in, you know, because they would come and bang on my door eventually, but they're downstairs, I'm upstairs and all that, just to be able to drop in or just do an announcement, which we now do with our daughter to get her attention. She's in the back of our house and on the computer, and she's got her headphones on and music or whatever, and we'll drop in or announce to that room and be like, all right, dinner time, get out here, you know.
And if you say that, if you say it's dinner time, if you say announce dinner time or whatever, you know, you get a little ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. You know, tell you dinner
and then
bell.
It plays your voice message. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
So we should clear up just for people who are thinking, how do you make your Echo, recognize fire alarms and stuff like that? You were talking about your phone, obviously, and that's something you can either have on or off. I don't know if you can have it on a schedule, maybe, but with the Echo, it's not here yet in the UK. I'm sure it will be coming because it's
rubbish,
super useful.
It?
It's called Alexa Guard.
Yeah, and there's actually Guard Plus Alexa that Guard. Now actually does a lot more.
That's right.
Into it,
but let's have the basics here first. And that you turn on and off, and you can set, I think, a routine, and you can set a time on that routine. So normally people would have it going off overnight, or if they leave the house. Sorry, they'd have it switched on overnight, or if they leave the house, because then, yes, it's going to be listening for all of those, you know, noises like breaking glass, running water, alarms, smoke alarm, sirens, that sort of thing.
Doorbell, baby cry, I think.
Exactly,
just like the iPhone.
Brilliant.
Which I can imagine be very, very helpful, absolutely.
I can't wait for that to come here.
David, tell us where we can get your podcast so we can go and check out more of your Echo tips.
Okay. Well, you can find us in pretty much all the typical podcast areas, you know, like the Google podcast arena, the Apple iTunes podcast, whatever we're calling it now. And tune in. And so you can just walk over to your Echo and just say, play the Echo Tips podcast. And you'll be listening to us in just a few moments. So.
And that's something you can do in the UK. Hurrah! Something hurrah! We can do with it. Yes. There are some uses for it here, at least. David, it's been great having you on. Just a reminder of your other work as well, if you want to give a plug to that.
Yeah, if you want to find out about other things I'm doing with the New Vision program at Goodwill, you can check out our website, goodwillvalleys.com/newvision. It's all lowercase, no spaces, and you'll find out what else I'm doing.
Brilliant. David, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, let's bring Andy back in. Andy, you still there?
Yes. Yeah, I was in the kitchen. I was making a cup of tea.
Oh, where are you? And mine would be where?
Oh, it's in the post.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, emailing me a biscuit, are you? Charming.
Yes. Emailing you crumbs.
As always. Right, let's get into it then. We've got so many emails to get to, and I feel so bad. I'm so sorry, guys. We haven't gotten to your emails in weeks, but we have had some very interesting conversations, let's be honest. From Dinos coming on, we had Steve Nutt last week. He was fantastic on the show talking about Android. And, you know, just a point on that. We know this is another half hour gone. But, no, just a quick point on that, because Steve was brilliant. And a lot of people commented, you know, thanks to Steve for coming on and thank you for being so nuanced. I think a lot of people thought Steve was going to come on and trash us because we had iPhones. And that, of course, didn't happen. We had a very nice, civil conversation. It can be done! So, yeah, we had a really nice, civil conversation. And at the end of it, we're all still talking to each other. So I think that's an absolute win. well, listen, speaking of win, it's Andy Wynn with the emails!
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
I still have no idea why we get a doorbell on that. Anyway, Andy, let's get to these emails finally after weeks.
Yeah, the last time we featured emails, we had a correspondent we were introduced to called Svetlana. And I promised you all Svetlana's second email. So here it is, all the way from Novosibirsk in Russia or Siberia. Yes, she says, my name is Svetlana and I'm your regular listener from Russia. Robin, your podcast can be found on the Victor Reader stream. I went and checked it for your listener. Yes, a few weeks ago, we had a listener who was having trouble trying to find Robin's dot-to-dot podcast.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Now, they used U-Tunes or U-Tunes for the radio station, but if they use something else for podcast and dot-to-dot is there, just search for it from the podcast's bookshelf and type it in without the number two. Just use the letters T and O instead. Now, Svetlana doesn't subscribe to it because they don't have echoes in any form in their country.
What? How do they manage?
You can't live your life this way.
No. She says she does love her Victor Reader stream for books and podcasts, even though I'm an iPhone user and I use the Audible app on it whenever I feel like reading on the phone. Stream's battery really helps a lot, especially on longer trips. How I miss my business trips, she says. Mm. Thanks for the great show. Warm regards. That's from Svetlana in Novosibirsk in Russia.
Oh, very nice. Thank you for that. Andy, I can ask you maybe to turn your microphone up a little bit because it feels like you're a bit 10 miles away from me at the moment. So if you can turn yourself up a little bit, that would be lovely. And we can hear your dulcet tones more clearly. Let's get to another email. Thank you to Svetlana for that.
Mm.
Okay, this question is on iOS 14 and it comes from Yngve. So we're going to Norway now, not the longest distance away from Russia. Hi there. After updating to iOS 14 on my iPhone, I've come across a small but pretty annoying thing, which I wonder if anyone can help me with. Each time I touch the toolbar at the bottom of Safari, VoiceOver announces toolbar before I get any information about which tab I am on. Similarly, I also get announced tab bar before anything else, for instance, when using WhatsApp. I don't need to get information about toolbar or tab bar. I only need to know what the tab is. And this is new after updating to iOS 14. So is there any way to make VoiceOver stop announcing this thing? Thanks for a great show. That's from Yngve.
Yes, there is.
Go for it, Robin.
There is, thankfully. It is a feature, not a bug. But yeah, Robin, how do you turn it off?
Yeah, a lot of people, because it is new, isn't it, in iOS 14. And for me, it was definitely extra verbiage that I didn't want. So I went digging. If you go into VoiceOver in the settings app, go to verbosity. On that page, there's lots of things that you can twiddle about how verbose they're spoken, how they're kind of voiced. And there's one called container descriptions. Just toggle it off.
Okay. Easy as that. Wow. Did we just answer someone's question? Is that the first time that's ever happened in this program?
We answered an actual technical question on a tech show.
That is, clearly somebody has to be fired as a result of this. That is an absolute disgrace. Okay, well, look, if it helps, that's great. Well done. Thanks, Robin. Andy, what else?
So let's get on to a few of the Braille emails. This one's from Richard II in Perth. He's emailed in. Many who have learnt Braille for a long time contend that it is essential to become proficient in Braille to be successful. And I do think that there's a bit of snobbishness about it. Although I learnt Braille at a blind school, I wasn't very good at it. And I was one of those who had to attend the additional Braille class on a Saturday. Braille may be another useful tool, but it's not necessary to be a bookworm to get what you want from it. I worked as a lawyer for many years and I just used Braille for making the notes that I needed. Nowadays, the internet, the speed of screen readers, audio output, and the availability of OCR devices means that unless you're a whiz at it, there are plenty of other ways to get the information you need, whether it's marking tins of beans or control on a device, etc., etc. So my suggestion is to use it if you think you find it useful, but if you don't, it's not the end of the world if it doesn't suit you. I'll add that I'm yet to find anyone who can read Braille as accurately and quickly as I can listen to a fast screen reader. So it's just another tool in the box. All the best. Yeah, that's from Richard II in Perth.
I have to say, you need to be incredibly proficient to be able to keep up with a screen reader, especially if you're like most of us who have our screen readers set to, 60 or 70%. That would be, some cases, higher. So, I must admit, I've gone the other way with my screen reader. I've actually slowed mine down. I think I'm chilling out a bit in my older age. I started off and it was like, how fast can I make this thing go? Maybe it's like cars and young people, as a young guy, you want to go fast as possible. And then, when you're in your 40s, you're driving this ridiculously huge car at 40 miles an hour everywhere you go, or 20 miles an hour wherever you go. Maybe that's the way it is. It's a really interesting conversation. We've, of course, this is picking up on what I mean, how many weeks ago are we talking? Maybe months ago.
Months, yes.
We had this big discussion around Braille and its potential. And it's interesting, since the turn of the year, I had to do some work in my home studio here because my mixer exploded. I can tell you that when a mixer explodes, that's not good. That's an official technical assessment right there. So I had to get a brand new one. And I ended up getting one which was all app controlled and all very fancy. But one thing I wanted to do this time around was label up all the connections, everything that's plugged into it, so that if I had a situation where I didn't know what was going on or I had to change something, I didn't have to then think, oh, hang on, what is that connected to? You know, the right bone's connected to the left bone, all that nonsense, right? So try to work it all out. And I thought, well, I'll use Braille for this. But then I thought, well, hang on, these Braille labels are going to be pretty long. If I'm connecting mixer out to computer in left, you know, that's going to be quite a label, even if you contract it. So I thought, well, what else can I do? Because I can't obviously write anything down. Nothing's going to make nothing's going to be useful in that sense. So I ended up using the RNIB PenFriend. I got the PenFriend 2, although I was really annoyed because I then found it as a PenFriend 3, typical. But yeah, so I get my PenFriend 2. And I stick on all my labels. I buy these little cool little cable ties that have got little flags on them that you're supposed to put like some kind of adhesive on label that you can write on, but you can also just stick the PenFriend label to. So you wrap the cable tie around the cable and you stick on the little PenFriend label and you record your message onto it. And now all my labeling's done and I can just hold up my PenFriend to the label. And part of me feels that's a better way of doing things. So I've labelled all my plugs that way, I've labelled everything. So I now know where everything is, and I just spend my Saturdays, you know, checking out my labels. But yeah, it works. And it's, you know, does it, you know, again, it kind of maybe brings around to that question of, well, do we need Braille? Or is it just a nice to have? And I think for us, being the age we are, trying to get into it, to use it in a way that, you know, someone would use it when they were at school growing up, it's maybe not the same for us. Discuss.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not for cable labeling.
Although I know people do that. Some people do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our woodwork teacher at school always said that you have to use the right tool for the right job. So, you know, don't kind of try to kludge your way through, you know, otherwise you'll make a real hash of something.
Oh, you've never seen me put up anything that involves screws, have you? Because if it's got a screw in it, I'll use a hammer. I don't care what it is, I'm hammering it.
Yeah, I mean, in the absence of really good Braille skills, if I'm doing a presentation where I need to have kind of real-time notes, then I actually do switch to Eloquence and I crank it right up to, say, 300 words a minute. And then I can hear it really clearly, really fast, and I'll just quickly grab the next line of text. So just while I'm taking a breath, basically, in between speaking. And that's the kind of strategy I need to do when I haven't got, you know, really proficient Braille skills. But yeah, like you, I've with Ava, I slow her right down because it's a very pleasant experience, or a lot slower than that anyway. So yeah, but I mean, I'm still going to be on the Braille journey, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping we're not going to open up a million other emails.
Oh,
about
I know.
Pros and cons.
Let's not go down this rabbit hole again. I mean, Tim, just a final word on it, because I think it's important to, since it's been brought back up, and I think on reflection, we all maybe think about this differently. I know you haven't really been someone to get into Braille, and it's funny it's almost like I feel like I'm being rude when I say that, but I'm not. It's just not something you're into, right? It's not something you need in your life, is it?
Not presently, no. I think that learning Braille and having that Braille skill in your toolkit is a situational nicety, to coin a phrase. It's something that I think a lot of people use and use well, and if you have that skill, good. You should, if you can. I've tried. I have taken a course from the Hadley Institute for the Blind here in the US. And I probably should have gone further with it. At the time, I was just too busy with other things. I kind of would like to try again. But then again, as you said, Stephen, I'm not in a position right now where I feel that it's something that I need in my toolkit. You know, the times that I think I would use it or even know I might use it, don't come up enough and really are, you know, even fewer and far between nowadays. So I just don't know that it's something that I personally need. However, if anybody says, hey, Tim, should I learn Braille? You know, I'm losing my vision or I've, you know, whatever. I would immediately say, yeah, if you can, if you have the access and the ability and, you know, and everything, go for it, learn it. But it may or may not be something that you'll use, but it is situational. It is, yeah. It is very personal, I think.
I agree. And I think it's something, I mean, for me, it was always about cutting the voice off. I find sometimes JAWS can be very irritating. I find listening to audio all the time irritating. I don't enjoy audiobooks. I know I shouldn't say that. I work for the RNIB and, you know, I'll be, you know, harangued for it. But the truth is, you know, this is just a personal thing. It's not that I think that because I don't like them that therefore the entire thing should be shut down. Of course I don't think that. I think audiobooks are great. And for a lot of people, it is a lifeline to reading, when especially when someone loses their sight, right? But for me personally, I mean, Thursday Murder Club, right, by Richard Osman. Yeah. I don't know if it's in the RNIB library, but if it is, not. It's not okay. But that's on Audible. It's 12 and a half hours long. Who's got 12 and a half hours to... I cannot. Okay, even double speed, that's 6 hours.
No, wait. Pulling back the curtain a little bit, when we had this brief conversation in our WhatsApp group, when you made a similar complaint, I was laughing, and Robin, I think, knows this, because I just finished, 2 books ago, I finished a book that was 56 hours long.
Oh, come on.
I'm currently reading a book that's 20 hours long.
Is 40 or 50 hours, isn't it? So,
yeah.
But that's too long. For a good book, the longer the better. Why would you not want to surface from that world, you know, before you needed to? Books are so good.
The problem I've got is
the last 2 books I've read are both like 5 or 6 hours long. So those are
Stephen's. But even if they could, you know, episodically put it out, you know, you could say, well, look, here's an hour and there's another hour and there's another hour. You know, do it that way rather than...
Yeah, those are called chapters, Stephen. Yeah.
But I'm against
that. You can pause. You're against it. I would just throw out a recommendation, the strongest possible recommendation for that book. Love that book.
I cannot listen to any book that, you know, if I stop it and then start it again, it doesn't say previously on the Thursday Murder Club. Because if you don't have all that, then I'm lost because I don't know what happened. It's like, who's this guy? Who's the dead person? I am completely confused.
With your Netflix.
Yeah, I'll stick with Netflix. That's why I watch so much TV, I think. Even though I can't see it, I just prefer it because I can watch it an hour long chunk and I don't think, oh, I'm going to have to spend an entire lifetime listening to this book.
Are you limited to just watching series on Netflix where they do summarize what happened last week?
No, other shows are available. Other streaming services are available. Some of them are, you know, okay. Now, Andy, you mentioned there are a few emails on the Braille topic. Will we pick one more on this story?
Yeah, there's just one. Yeah, just the one more. And just to say very briefly, if anybody wants to go back and hear that discussion again, it was Tech Talk episode 351. From the end of October last year. You can go back and listen to that discussion. That was focused on, are Robin, Stephen and Tim's attitude towards Braille? Well, one listener said it was they were being a little bit too flippant about it. So go back and listen to that to get the full gist.
I don't know where you get that idea.
Deplorable we were.
The final word. And I think this may be the final email on the subject. This comes in from Callum. Hi, guys. I would listen to the show on a podcast, and I have to say, listening to the email about Braille really annoyed me. I like you guys. I like to learn. I like to read and write at school before my sight deteriorated as a teenager. And even now, with the assistance of technology, I can read text from the magnifier. So I actually take offense at being told that I'm illiterate because I can't read Braille.
Here.
I also think... I really think he was really harsh on you guys, as Stephen particularly has made me think that I should learn Braille for some specific tasks, and I could see that that would be an easier option. However, as I work full-time and I'm doing part-time university course, it's going to take me quite some time to get proficient at it again. This does not make me an idiot, and it's really winds me up that people think that. Apologies for the negativity. I'm a massive fan of the show. I think you guys are pretty... that doesn't make sense. I think you guys are pretty.
An advocate for helping the blind.
There's likely a word intended after that, but we'll take it. We'll take being pretty.
What should we add in there?
Pretty.
I think you guys are pretty great. An advocate for the helping blind and partially sighted people like myself to make life just that little bit easier with the assistance of tech. Kind regards, that's from Callum the First from Knaresborough. Callum's even given himself a little email title there.
Callum the first. I love that people are doing this. It's great. You know, final word I'll say on this, you know, and this is the bit that nobody ever listens to because everyone at this point is furiously writing an email. You know, please listen to this. This is our life we're talking about here. We're talking about our own lives and our own experiences. I'm not speaking for the RNIB. I know this is a podcast that's on RNIB Radio, but it's not the RNIB's view on things. It's my view, it's Tim's view, it's Robin's view, it's Andy's view. This is our view on things. And you might disagree with it, and feel free to tell me. But, you know, nobody should be made to feel lesser than because of someone else's opinion. Not at all. And Callum, you're absolutely right. And I don't think you bring any negativity in that email at all. I think you're quite right in that. That, you know, there are some tasks you can use this for. You're not going to maybe sit down and read War and Peace with Braille. Maybe you will one day, but it probably would take you too long because let's be honest about it. You know, with age, it does, you know, it's harder to learn. And I'm finding that, you know, I'm struggling to kind of get to the speed that I'd want to get to. But for little things like, you know, the odd label or a quick note, it's a great tool to have. Mm-hmm. Okay, final word on it. We'll leave it there. Let's move on to another email.
This email is from Peter the Great. Another title there. If you would like your own title, then email in TechTalk at
I think they're just prescribed, though. I think people just give themselves their own title.
Well, yeah, I started giving them out. Yeah, we were naming people because of how many Richards we had. We're up to three.
That's right, yeah.
Julians, and now Peter the Great. We still can't think of one for Julie Roddaway. She's got an email coming up next. But anyway.
Queen Julie. Peter the Great. Princess Julie. Oh, I've just demoted you. Sorry, Julie.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're safe and well. I heard a very interesting podcast about a company called AdMaps. Now, the name of the podcast was 80 Banter, which we have been full of praise before on this show. You may find it interesting. It's indoor navigation, and it's coming to all of us quite soon. Hopefully, you could ask the TFL team to investigate this AdMaps app. Take care. That's from Peter the Great.
I will pass it on to the team. You may notice this week we didn't have a feature from Technology for Life team. They've been flat out answering your queries on the RNIB helpline number, which I'll give a bit later. So they've not had a chance. It was Stephen Davidson, I think, that was due to give us a feature this week, but he didn't have time to do it. So we will have a feature for you next week from them. They're very worthwhile listening to because they cover so many great topics. That's what I love about them. But yes, I'll definitely pass that along. Thanks for that. Okay.
I'm wondering if he misheard that and it was Good Maps, because that's the new hotness about internal navigation using LiDAR and stuff.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Well, there's so many of them. I found one last night. It was Finder. Have you heard of this? Finder with, I think it's two R's. And it's a new, it basically sounds like another seeing AI. But I one of those things I'm reading thinking, is this real? You know, it seems to be like seeing AI mixed with Be My Eyes, because you've got the volunteer support and you've also got the text recognition built into the app and such, like, you know, so the OCR and the scanning documents and all that. It's as if someone's brought the two together for some reason. I haven't looked much further into it. I'm always a bit wary when I get these ads come up on Facebook. It's like, what exactly is this thing? But I must look into it more. But it does, it's just, if it's genuine, another one, really? I mean, how many of these do we need? Seeing AI is pretty good. Be My Eyes is pretty good. I mean, what is this? You know, I can't take two bottles into the shower. I can only take one situation. I don't know. Anyway, Andy, please carry on.
So, yes, this is Queen Julie Roddaway. Hello again, everybody. I've just received my very tiny Orbit Writer, a lovely little Braille Bluetooth keyboard on which I am now writing. I can't believe how small this very responsive keyboard is, and the keys are remarkably quiet, not like the Orbit Reader. I'm a quick Braillist, and this is well able to keep up with me. I certainly see this being useful, and I don't want to take my focus Braille displays out with me. This will suffice when I'm out and just want to take a quick note. I think this is a welcome addition to the Orbit family, and I would highly recommend it. With best wishes, Queen Julie.
I'm very excited about this, and I like the fact you're saying it's quieter. I know that the Braille of the Orbit Reader 20, when the display refreshes, it is pretty noisy. It's not the most studio-friendly, put it that way. You would know I was using a Braille display with that thing. Whereas the Focus 14 I've got is much quieter. But the keys themselves, that's interesting. I wonder if they're still, maybe Julie will come back on this, I wonder if they're as spongy as they were on the Orbit Reader, because I found that a little bit off-putting. I'm not entirely sure I like the layout of the keys either. Oh, I'm such a complainer, aren't I? But yeah, I just wasn't so sure about the kind of, it was like a line of keys rather than the Perkins style keys that are a bit more kind of shaped to your hand.
Are you sure about that?
Or maybe it's the other way around. Is it the other way around, I'm thinking? Yeah,
no, I don't know, but I've not seen the orbit writer. But the Perkins is just a straight line.
So it is, yeah. But there's like a standard, or at least there was a style that came with Braille displays.
Yeah, raked.
Is that what that's called?
Like at an angle. Yeah, the one up here is like that.
That's
yeah.
It's that I prefer.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, you're right.
Because your arms come in at angles, don't they? So, yeah.
Yeah. They do. Breaking news this hour. Okay, Andy, we'll get time for one more.
Hi, gang. I thought I would drop you a line regarding the RNIB talking microwave. After having the Cobalt talking microwave for 30 years, I replaced it this time last year. I don't know how popular the RNIB talking microwave is. Yes, I can well and truly understand why people would want a microwave, which will be a lot easier. But what makes the Cobalt one is the speech. To me, it's not the layout which is important, it's the speech. The reason why the Cobalt talking microwave is so popular is not the way that it's laid out, because it has a very clear male colloquial speech. If anybody has an RNIB talking microwave, can they do a demonstration so that we can hear what the speech sounds like? I'm hoping it will be just as popular as Cobalt. I don't want to sound sexist, but I hate an American female whiny voice. I prefer.
It's pretty specific.
Yeah. Wow. I prefer.
But a name British on that, we've got a lawsuit, I think.
I prefer a British male voice as it sounds natural. That's why I love Daniel on voiceover and yours.
Oh, what?
As good as we heard last week, I probably need to buy one of my existing microwave when it conks out. But the speech is important. Well, keep the show going. We need it during lockdown. All the best from Kelly Muggeridge.
Oh, thanks, Kelly. Well, look, that's a good way to end the show this week, because I actually have one of the new RNIB talking microwaves. So next week, I will do a review just for you, Kelly, and for everyone else who's interested on the new RNIB talking microwave, which you can get from the RNIB shop. Just a quick bit of housekeeping before we go, though. A reminder that the Technology for Life service is available. If you do have computer queries that you need answered quickly, now, then you might want to give them a call. Now, the lines are open at 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. That's the RNIB helpline number that is open then. Give them a call. They will pass your query to the Technology for Life team. The number is 0303 123 9999. You can also get in touch by emailing Technology for Life at the email address TFL, shortened version of Technology for Life, not Transport for London, at rnib.org.uk. That's TFL at rnib.org.uk. And as I say, the helpline number is available 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. weekdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. If you want to get in touch with them, you can email them. You can email the helpline actually directly as well. Simply helpline at rnib.org.uk. So if you do have any technology queries, get in touch with the team. And some of the voices that you hear on Tech Talk, you'll be talking to on the phone, because it's those guys who, you know, answer the phone. So get in touch. Meanwhile, though, we will, of course, be back next week with another show. I do homework now, guys.
Before we go, can I quickly plug, I know I'm going to get into trouble if I don't, I'm speaking to Sarah Herlinger next Tuesday, head of accessibility at Apple. So guys, please register. It's free. abilitynet.org.uk/webinars. Go there and sign up.
We'll catch you again next week for another show. Robin Christofferson, thank you.
Thanks.
Tim Schwartz, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And emails Andy, as always. Thank you.
See you next week.
And also thanks to David Ward for joining us as well. Catch you next time.